Yeah. So the question is the mystery that the Lord relates to the disciples in Matthew 13, of which there are seven there, the same as the mystery that was revealed to the Apostle Paul? Okay. Well, first of all, if you look at what Paul says about that very mystery, you have the answer right there in the book of Ephesians. Okay. Come over to Ephesians chapter 3. Abel, again, if you would read verses 3, 4, and 5.
How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit.
Yeah. Now you see, this mystery is associated with the with what dispensation in verse 2?
If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, toward you.
Okay. And who is this dispensation committed for in verse 1?
For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles.
So Paul was given to communicate this stewardship for the Gentiles, which concerned the mystery, right? Which was not revealed prior to Paul, right? We read that also wasn't revealed in other ages past, okay? And that mystery concerned again who in verse 6?
That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel.
Right. So the mystery was for the Gentiles, that they would be equal heirs of the same body. They were never equal heirs under the old covenant, right? Remember in Exodus chapter 19, when God is speaking words to Israel, in Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6, what kind of a position did the Gentiles have then? Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6 on the right.
Now, therefore, if you obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and it shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak unto the children of Israel.
Right. So under the old covenant, addressed to Israel, what? The Jew, Israel, was supposed to be above all the peoples of the earth, right? That there is no equality there, is there? No. Okay. And again, this concerned Israel. And it's no different in the prophets, is it? God had determined that Israel would be the channel of blessing to all the nations. He promised that to Abraham, of course, in Genesis chapter 12. Well, let's go there for a minute. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3.
Now, the Lord had said unto Abram, get you out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house and to a land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you, and curse him that curses you, and in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed.
So in Abraham personally, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed, and he's going to bring it about through a nation that springs from him. That's in Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, verses 17 and 18.
That in blessing I'll bless you, and in multiplying I'll multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. And in your descendants shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you have obeyed my voice.
Right. So Abraham's descendants, that nation that would come from him, would be a blessing to all the other nations. Okay. But that nation itself will stand apart from the other nation, being signally blessed. And the way and their position is stated again in terms of Isaiah 61, verse number 6, speaking about the future kingdom of Messiah. What does it say in verse 6 of Isaiah 61?
But it shall be named the place of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall you boast yourselves.
So this is Israel's unique coveted position among the nations, okay? That's totally different where Paul talks about this mystery concerning the Gentiles, where now they are fellow heirs or equal heirs with the Jews of the same body. This indeed, therefore, is something that was not revealed back in the OT, correct?
All right.
Now, so let's take a look and see what the Lord was speaking or who the Lord was speaking to in the gospel accounts when he's relating mysteries in Matthew 13. Who are the disciples in the gospel accounts? What was their relationship to the Lord? Look at Matthew 19. We've seen this verse many times. Matthew 19, verse 28. What does it say?
And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that you who have followed me in the generation when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel.
Yeah, when the Lord and Messiah's kingdom, these 12 disciples, they're called disciples, for example, in Matthew 5. Just go there, we have the Sermon on the Mount. Was it say in verse 1?
Seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he had sat down, his disciples came unto him.
His disciples, okay? Those that he committed those thrones to, like later in Matthew 19:28, concerning the nation. They're apart from the multitudes. They're with him. Okay? Now, what were those mysteries concerning that were spoken by the Lord to his disciples in Matthew 13? What were they mysteries concerning? Look at Matthew 13 and look at verse 11.
He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given.
So the mysteries concern the kingdom of heaven, don't they? Now, what does this phrase, the kingdom of heaven, mean in reference to Israel? Well, it goes back to what it says in Daniel chapter 2, the theme verse of the prophet who basically laid out all of Israel's history right up to this, the Messiah setting up his kingdom. What does it say in Daniel chapter 2? Give me a second here. Daniel chapter 2. Verse 44. Verse 44.
And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever.
So God is going to set up a kingdom that's not going to be destroyed. It will stand forever. And where is he going to set this kingdom up? Where is the God of heaven going to set this kingdom up? Go to that's the theme of all the prophets. So let's go to another prophet, Jeremiah chapter 23. You've seen this verse many times as well. Jeremiah 23, verses 5 and 6. All right. On the left.
Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will lay unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the earth. And in his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name by which he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness.
So the God of heaven is going to set up a kingdom on the earth, and he's actually going to reign on that earth because his name is called the Lord our righteousness, isn't it? Absolutely. Yes. Okay. So this is what Israel's promise was all about. An earthly kingdom with Messiah reigning in their midst. The twist, his disciples will sit on 12 thrones in that kingdom, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And this kingdom is going to be executing judgment and justice throughout the earth. Okay? This was Israel's earthly kingdom hope. Okay? Now, so all those mysteries in Matthew 13 relate to that kingdom, don't they? They have to. That's what he said. Okay? Now, this mystery that Paul lays out has nothing to do with Israel. We saw that it was for the Gentiles. We saw that it also was indeed a mystery because it reveals a position that the Gentiles have now that they didn't have concerning Israel's kingdom promises. They are equally heirs with the Jews in this one body. So that is indeed a totally different message. Like Paul says, not made known in ages past. And the reason why the Gentiles have this message right now and why God has been dealing with the Gentiles for the last 2,000 years is because Israel at Messiah's first coming rejected that king and his kingdom, didn't they? And that's exactly what we see in Acts chapter 28, which will be a wrap to this question. Acts chapter 28, verses 25 through 28. Go ahead on the right. Go ahead, Abel.
Yeah. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After Paul had spoken one word, well spoke the Holy Spirit by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is stubborn, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should seal their ears and hear their lest they should seal their eyes and hear their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will, and that they will hear it.
Okay, so you see that that Israel, because she refused the Messiah, his kingdom, God has put them to sleep for this time that he's dealing with the Gentiles. And the salvation is going out to the Gentiles ever since the Apostle Paul. Okay. But it's not a permanent condition for Israel, because when God takes the body of Christ home at the rapture, when he recalls his vessels of grace, okay, and again turns his attention to Israel, then God is going to make Israel willing in the day of his power, as it says in the Psalms. And so kind of close it for, again, just to reemphasize that in Romans chapter 11, as far as the timing of when Israel will draw back into her hope, you see this connection between her being asleep now under this Gentile dispensation, and when the Gentile dispensation closes, Israel will indeed have those promises fulfilled to her. And that's what we're going to close on and then put the question to rest. Romans 11, verses 25 through 29 on the left.
For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as But concerning the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes, for the gifts and calling of God are unchangeable.
Okay, so you see that right now, while Israel is blinded in part, okay, that condition will remain until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, until the fullness of this Gentile dispensation is complete. Okay, and after this time, the spiritual time of the Gentiles, God is going to fulfill his promises that he made to Israel in the Old Testament. He's going to save the nation, okay, that remnant, as is written, and he quotes Isaiah 59, verses 20 and 21, as concerning taking away their sins, and out of Zion the deliverer will come. But then again, to reiterate concerning the present time, before that happens, as concerning the gospel that's now going out to the Gentiles, okay, they are enemies for your sakes. Because why? Because this is a gospel of peace. In order for the gospel of peace to be, this peace offer to be made to all, Israel along with the Gentiles have to be enemies, okay? Because peace only involves a reconciliation of enemies, okay? 2 Corinthians 5, verses 19 through 21 shows you that God is at peace with the world today. The reconciliation offer, therefore, is open to all. But God has made God's promises, his callings and gifts concerning Israel. They're not going to change. He's going to fulfill them. He's just not fulfilling them now while the Gentile dispensation is in effect. But once God recalls his ambassadors of peace home, because we're called ambassadors in 2 Corinthians 5, but when we're regathered at the sound of the trumpet, in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17, God takes that church home. It's no longer the dispensation of grace. It's no longer the Gentile dispensation of grace. It now becomes the time of Jacob's trouble, as mentioned in the prophets, Jeremiah 30, verse 7. And Israel is going to be made to go through the fire of the tribulation. And the remnant that comes through will be the recipient of those promises made back in the Old Testament concerning Israel's kingdom hope. Okay, so on that note, we can all say what? Amen, and put a close to this question. That's it. Okay.